The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. Later on in the programme, Rob Dawson will be here to talk about the future of Cristiano Ronaldo at Manchester United. But we kick things off with what we discussed at the top of yesterday's show. Gareth Bale, it's official. He's come into MLS to play for LAFC.
Got to get better heart than that, sure.
Well, it's the tradition, isn't it? It's the LAFC unveiling tradition. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we? Don Hutchinson and, wait, he sent me a message. I have to introduce him.
Excited.
The better half of Football America's Sebastian Salazar is here as well. Seb, let's start with you. Excited?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a great move. I think it's a huge move for LAFC to do it in the way that they did it. A TAM signing leaves them the flexibility to then do what we saw in the following hours, which is re-sign Carlos Vela. You put it in the context of their transfer window. It's hard to think of another MLS transfer window that has gone better. They bring in Chiellini. They've now extended Carlos Vela. It feels like the beginning of a super team there in Los Angeles, which we know is going to force the Galaxy to compete a little bit more. And from a league perspective, you know, the league has not liked this retirement league image. But I'll be honest with you. I think some of the league's highlights in the last 2 years have been so-called retirement players. It's something MLS could I think, go a long way in embracing.
Super team.
Hold
Seb?
On. What have I missed?
It's quite a loose term, isn't it, considering Chiellini and Gareth Bale?
Yeah, you don't think... I mean, honestly, I'll ask the panel this. Who on the panel is sure how far off his best Gareth Bale is?
Miles.
If Gareth Bale comes... come on. But you know the level's miles different as well,
listen.
Craig. And you would be the first to say that.
Listen.
A motivated Gareth Bale's going to come and light this league up. Are you disagreeing with that?
Let me tell you something. If you ever get the time, and I know you don't because you're too busy, go back and check these shows or ask somebody that watches this show regular and ask about... I've been a very big fan of Gareth Bale's performances over his career. No doubt. But... And you know this, but the guy can't do what he once did. However, it's fine. I haven't got a problem with that. But, you know, Bale's been wearing his sun hat and his Factor 50 for 18 months now. Chiellini's one of the best defenders that ever walked this planet. No doubt about it. Rugged, knows all the tricks. But he's at the wrong end of his career. But I don't have an issue with those players coming to America and playing their talent. Just see it for what it is. Mm. They're coming here to earn a few quid, play a bit of soccer, and maybe have it a bit easy on Bale's case. He's preparing for a World Cup. But I've always said, Dan, on this show, when we were chatting about Cardiff and the Championship, I said to you, no. This is bad. The Championship is bad. It's a tough league. It's not for him with his mindset, with his preparation. If you're half-hearted, you get injured. And I think this is actually perfect for him. I do think it's perfect for him, but see it for what it is. He'll just swan around, making sure everybody else does his business and look to take a few headlines. He's right. Not going to come here and show the youngsters how to train.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Seb?
Yeah, I don't think anybody expects Gareth Bale to show the youngsters how to train, Craig, but I think it's fair to think he can dominate. Come on. That's not what you're paying him to come here for. You're paying him for how good he is.
Well, you just said these guys are you're turning them into a super team. We're talking about guys. If you want guys to be coming to Major League Soccer, you want guys to come in, if you're putting them in that category, and really show the inferior, younger, less experienced players what it's all about. I'm imagining, you know, Gareth Bale, and I don't think I'm doing him a disservice. If you've looked at the last 18 months or 2 years, he's just going to do enough that keeps him ticking over to make sure when he turns out for Wales at the World Cup, and he will, that he's fit and he's ready. And listen, that might be enough for LAFC in this standard of football. That's fine, but he's not going to be a beacon of fantastic attitude for the younger players. That train left the station two or three years ago.
Well, Craig, to that point, there's not much risk here. It's a one-year deal through next summer. So you've got him in the run-up to the World Cup where you figure he'll be motivated. He'll come off that World Cup, and if he plays well for 3 or 4 months and you find him motivated, you give him the 18-month option. You keep him through 2024, and maybe Bale is motivated to keep playing for Wales through the next European Championships. I think there's a huge upside to this. I don't think there's much risk. You're giving him not that much money relative even for MLS standards. We know at least this year it's not going to be more than 1.6. You get him for a year, and at this point, it's not a team that needs, you know, coaching the youngsters. LAFC's a ready-made team. They're first in the Supporters' Shield. They're the Vegas favorite to win the league. This is icing on top of the cake. It's the perfect move.
Listen, I know Don's waiting patiently with bated breath. I know he's desperate to get in on this. Let me just say one thing. I think this is a perfect scenario all around. I just think we should... I just get slightly annoyed when we try and paint it in a certain way.
Right.
However, all I'm saying, and I don't know LAFC because I don't watch it, right? I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. But I know Carlos Vela, now Gareth Bale, and Giorgio Chiellini, and a goalkeeper, right? So I'm praying that the other seven love to run around, right? If the other seven love to run around and scurry around and carry the water, things might be great. If the other seven don't, there may be problems ahead.
Beautiful. Musical, ESPN FC. Seb, just to pick you up on that point, why would Gareth Bale be motivated for LAFC when he wasn't motivated for Real Madrid?
We don't know. I don't know Gareth Bale personally. We don't know what's going to motivate Gareth Bale.
Clearly, we know what's going to motivate him. Wales. That's it.
Okay. Well, he has Wales to stay in shape for the next 3 months, right? So hopefully that'll motivate him for now. On the backside of the World Cup, it's a different question. But you've got three months again for him to play for a contract. If he's not doing it, then you cut ties. I mean, there's the 2024 European Championships. If he's only going to be 34 when that tournament rolls around. I mean, this guy's only 32 years old right now. Let's not put him in the Chiellini range. I think, guys, I can't believe anybody's trying to poo-poo this move. I'm shocked.
Well, nobody's trying to poo-poo it. Don, you might as well have the night off now. Just pull the plug out, Don. Nobody's trying to poo-poo it. I'm just saying, you know, Giorgio Chiellini won a European Championship a year ago. Gareth Bale, and I've been a huge proponent of his, for the sake of repeating myself, has been demotivated at Real Madrid. So what we're saying is, what's the motivation for him apart from playing the World Cup for Wales? Because that's been part of the scenario for 12, 18 months now.
Is it fair to ask how much motivation he needs to dominate or be a huge impact player at LAFC? Because he played, what, 20 minutes between the two goals he scored against Austria and he doesn't score the goal, but the free kick that leads to the goal against Ukraine that gets Wales into the World Cup. He played 20 minutes for Real Madrid between those two games, and he's still the impact player at international level, which I'm assuming all you guys would agree is ahead of MLS level. So this guy can be an impact player without being motivated every week, every day. I think at the level he's coming into, with the skill set he's got, at the age he's got, with the reality that no one on that panel really knows how far off it he is, there's no risk here.
You know what worries me more? That Buffon at the front of your head.
You're so jealous.
I'm not
You're
jealous.
So jealous.
Sean Hutchison, welcome to the show.
Hey! Hi, chaps.
Would you like to say anything?
Well, I mean, I've heard all the chat about motivation. I don't think it's Gareth Bale that needs motivated. Wales is obviously his motivation, Dan, and we've said it many times on this show. It's not the motivation. The hunger's still there for him. It's just his body's starting to let him down. That's the problem. I mean, we chatted three or four months ago.
His hunger's there for Wales, Don.
Well, he's a professional. Your hunger's there to play every single game and train every single day. But sometimes you can't.
We've got evidence of that over the last 2 years. He hasn't for Real Madrid.
I know. And that was going to be my point when we were chatting about what happened with Carlo Ancelotti and what Carlo Ancelotti had to say 3 months ago when he got asked a question on Gareth Bale. And Ancelotti said, on the grass on the Monday, it's a no-show because you can't train. It's the same on a Tuesday. It's the same on a Wednesday and a Thursday. He comes out on a Friday. He has a little tickle of the ball. He goes through his paces. Does a little 4v4, little 5v2 rondo. I can't pick him on a Saturday. So the most important thing for Gareth Bale, and I'm sure he's had the conversation with the coach manager, is are they going to be relaxed enough to accept that he can't get his body on the training ground every single day? And if the coaches are happy with that, like the Wales manager, Rob Pages, they're quite happy with you do your swimming, you do your bike, you do your rehab. As long as you're ready for match day, that's the most important thing for Gareth Bale, because he can't turn out from Monday to Friday anymore. His body's starting to get a little bit older and it's starting to let him down.
I think this is a brilliant transfer for Bale.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. I have no idea how it'll work out. But we do know that, he'll be... Will he be playing against any of his teammates at all? I'm sure he will, won't he?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it ended... Well, don't want to look at that group. It's going to be too easy for England, isn't it? But I do. I think we've all been...
He can do some advanced scouting.
I say we've all been wondering what's going to happen to Gareth Bale. Not particularly waking up in the morning going, oh, what's going to happen to Gareth Bale? But we just seem to have talked about him an awful lot.
Yeah.
Primarily because, one, we have been wondering, and two, we haven't had a lot else to talk about since the season finished. And I suppose he has been one of the talking points. I didn't see this coming, to be honest with you, and we did flirt with the Championship and have talked about that. I wonder if there was anything else Premier League, and he went, oh, bottom half of the Premier League. I think it does suit him.
Yeah.
Now, what LAFC and MLS and everybody else get out with it, I'm not particularly fussed. But I think it suits him. You know, night, obviously the beautiful temperature, coming here to live in the US for a short period or whatever it is, in LA, too close to Hercules Gomez and Max Bretos. That's a big concern. Performance, big concern. Those two stalkers down there every day. And I think, depending on the game time, you know, getting just enough training in, nice lifestyle, and then play what you can. I'm not sure he'd be wanting to travel the country,
yeah.
But maybe he's got some sort of agreement that he doesn't have to go everywhere. I don't know. But I think it's perfect for him. That's going to give him just enough,
yeah.
But not in a league where every time you go out, yes, you can get... Of course, there's a physicality to Major League Soccer, but I don't think it's anything like the Championship in England, because there's so many games, so many big guys, so much at stake, that I think this is a real perfect scenario where he can just be... If it's possible for him to trim it back a little bit from where he was, maybe he can just trim it back a little bit.
Meanwhile, Seb, as you're on, before we let you go, we know that you were at the DC United game last night, and of course, a play from that game has gone viral. Just talk us through it.
This is my guy, too. This is Andy Nahar, right back, pride of the academy, sold for $3 million back in the day to Anderlecht, played in the Champions League. He's back with DC United now, and the whiff, that was a bad one. We were there, We thought that one was going to get us back in the game. Unfortunately, it did not, and DC got hammered.
He didn't get clipped from behind there. No, that didn't put him off. Just
you know, he wanted everybody in the stadium and the referee to believe that. But I think you can see on the replay, he may have been put off a little bit, but not enough to whiff. Come on.
I thought you might have been as well as banned from LAFC for Bob Bradley comments. I thought you might have been banned from DC for your. Misguided analysis of Wayne Rooney on his arrival.
Boy, I wish that was the reason that I'm not liked by the ownership of DC United, but there's actually a laundry list. So, yeah, I don't go there and get the red carpet treatment. I got to kind of sneak in the back door, Craig. You know how it is at Chelsea for you.
Well, you think so. Craig's going to go to any matches?
Yeah, I'm going next week. Todd Bowley's invited.
Football America, Seb, what's happening tomorrow?
I'm on.
We'll be talking about this. Lots of Gareth Bale. We'll see if we can get it back in the budget. I don't know. We did deep in that budget to get Craig on last time. I think we're broke for a little while.
Seb Salazar, as always, thank you very much.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
He was the top scorer for Manchester United last season, but speculation, of course, has rife over the last few weeks that Manchester United wanted to get rid of Cristiano Ronaldo. That apparently has now completely turned around. As Don Hutchinson's with us, and we welcome in our Manchester expert from ESPN FC, Rob Dawson, with us once again. Rob, what's going on? They want to keep him now?
Yeah, they've been very clear. He's not for sale. He's got a year left on his contract. They want him to stay. They expect him to stay. And despite all this speculation about possibly moving elsewhere, Chelsea, Real Madrid, PSG, Bayern Munich, they're banking on him to be there next season.
So why is Jorge Mendes, we're hearing reports of a meeting with the likes of Chelsea, Sporting, Bayern as well. Why is his agent doing that if United say you're going nowhere?
Yeah, I mean, as far as United are concerned, that's just part of a summer transfer window, an agent talking to different clubs about various players. I think probably from Ronaldo's point of view, there's a little bit more in it. You know, ultimately, this is a guy who's used to winning the Champions League. And if he stays at United next season, he's not only not going to win it, he's not going to play in it. And there are other teams out there who might need a striker. And he wants his agent to go around and gauge interest and see what else is out there. But ultimately, he's under contract at Man United. And if they say he's not for sale, he won't go anywhere.
Rob, are Man United looking to bring in an additional striker at all? I know he scored a lot of goals last year, but he's 37. Can he play all these games again? Can he do that, make those kind of figures again? Are they actively looking at another striker, or are they going to wait for another 12 months?
Yeah, I mean, this has changed a little bit since Darwin Nunes went to Liverpool. United were interested in him. Obviously, he's decided to go to Liverpool from Benfica. And since then, United changed tact a little bit in that they're not looking for an out-and-out number nine anymore. They're looking for a more versatile forward who can play across a number of positions across the front line, someone like Antony at Ajax. So when you hear stuff like that, it makes you think that United and Erik ten Hag don't genuinely believe that Ronaldo is going to play next season and play most games. You know, can he play every week at 37 years old in the Premier League? Probably not. You've got Marcus Rashford there who can come in and play as a centre forward. You've got Anthony Martial who's going to come back after a loan spell at Seville. So there are other options there. The question is whether those players can supplement the goal output of Ronaldo, because last season Ronaldo scored all the goals almost on his own.
So is this a case of, Rob, they're sticking with Ronaldo because they don't have anyone else?
Well, I mean, that is part of it. You know, they gave Ronaldo a two-year contract last summer. He's got another option beyond that that could take it to 3 years. There isn't a massive market out there to take him anyway with his wages that he's on. And also, Ten Hag is in a position where he can't really change everything in one summer. You know, he's come in, it's a squad that's massively underperformed last season and finished sixth in the Premier League, but he can't change everything in one summer. He's got to do things gradually. He's got to try and bring in a central midfielder, possibly another forward, you know, someone like Antony, and possibly another defender. And these are the things that need change. You know, signing another centre-forward to replace Ronaldo, possibly even changing the goalkeeper as well. These things are going to have to wait till possibly the next summer and even beyond that.
Now you take a look at those that have left United.
I think one of the things United must be hoping for as well is that the manager Ten Hag comes in and does what certainly the previous manager, there was a time when Solskjaer was getting a tune out of some of the younger players. Mm. There's no doubt about that. But certainly the interim Ralf Rangnick was a disaster. I mean, I'm sure there are multiple reasons why, but it was. And I'm sure one of the things United are looking at and certainly hoping for, and I'd like to see it because I don't want to see players' careers fritter away, is Jadon Sancho, yeah, is Marcus Rashford, is these kind of players who were in the doldrums, particularly Rashford. Rashford just looks so shy of confidence. He looked like, at one point last season, he looked like the last place he wanted to be was on the field.
Yeah.
Not because he's got a bad attitude, just because everything he was doing, it wasn't working. The crowd were getting on his back. And I just wonder if a changing manager, somebody with Ten Hag CV, can work with these guys and get a tune out of them. And I think United have to be hoping that is the case. And you know, if he works, if that works well, particularly with Rashford and Sancho, you're almost getting a couple of new players because neither of those, to an extent, turned up last year.
Don, we just put up the possible starting 11, assuming that De Jong joins well in the summer. We'll talk about that in a moment with Rob. Does this work for you? Is this a good start? You look at that, there's enough quality there.
There's enough quality there, but that's a million miles behind Man City and Liverpool for sure. And that 11 there that we've put up there, that's a struggle for top four, in my opinion.
Wow.
You know, I think when you look at Ronaldo staying, it's a good move on his part and a good move from the club's part. Only if you bring someone else in. And the hottest young striker out there, which no one's talking about, is Victor Osimhen at Napoli. You know, you bring him in, and I've always said about Ronaldo, you play him just a little bit deeper and you give him a bit of a free roll. He'll still get the numbers. He's still got a brilliant attitude. But if you go into a season where Ronaldo has to play more or less every single game as a 9 of 37 and expect to repeat the numbers, as Craig was saying, it's nigh on impossible. It's nigh on impossible for him to keep doing it every single week when he's looking at the players behind him thinking, I've got to carry you and I've got to carry you and I've got to babysit you and you're behind me not quite good enough and we're shipping goals at the back. So that 11 that, as I said, we put up, that's a struggle for the top four.
Rob, obviously, we included De Jong. What's the latest, sir?
United are still in talks with Barcelona, but it is one that we expect to get done eventually. United are very, very keen to sign him. Barcelona are very, very keen to sell. And you know, when you get a situation like that, you know, usually the player ends up at a new club. But there is one issue in that Frenkie de Jong hasn't been particularly keen to join Man United. You know, his name's been touted around the rest of Europe. He wants to stay in the Champions League. Obviously, United aren't in the Champions League. But ultimately, you know, with Barcelona trying to force him out the door because they've got their own financial problems to solve, and United so keen to sign him that it is one that we expect to happen eventually.
How much difference does that make, Craig, that Manchester United isn't at the top of his places where he desires to go?
Well, it makes a difference if he's got a sniff that there's somewhere else.
Right.
As a player, you'll just wait. If there's nothing out there, you've got to make a decision. But if there are two or three clubs that take your fancy and a deal can be done with Barcelona, then that's a problem for Man United. But I just wonder if, you know, with Ten Hag being there as well in that association... Yeah. That could be a big draw. Look, yeah, Man United are a massive club, but it's going to take a bit of convincing for some players that they are going in the right direction because they've been going the wrong direction for way too long now. And so players notice these things. And it is a concern. You know, obviously you can throw money at players and see if that gets the job done. So it's going to be an interesting one. I get the feeling this is a move that, as Rob said, could probably happen. I think because of that relationship, the Dutch relationship, manager and player. They need him. Barcelona need the money. Yes, he won't be playing in the Champions League this season, but barring a disaster, they should certainly be in the fight for it next year.
Yeah.
You know, last year was a shambles, an absolute shambles. They should never have been in the position that they're in, but they are, and they have to manage to fight their way out of it. But he's a player that would be giving his head at Man United. I get the feeling that Barcelona, it feels as if, you know, he's just not been let loose.
Yeah.
He's always talking about, I'm not playing the right position, this doesn't suit me sometimes, you know, I've got Busquets getting the ball there, and I've been asked to do this, and previous to that, Messi was there. And I just get the feeling that if he does sign for Man United, Ten Hag and him will sit down and say, look, this is what I think, this is where we'll get the best of you. Getting the ball off the back four, starting the moves off, but still getting forward. And I think at Barcelona, he just feels there's others that do that, and he's in the periphery. So I think it will be a good signing because I think going to Man United, we might see the best of them, and we certainly haven't seen it consistently at Barcelona.
Meanwhile, with your Manchester ways, Rob, Gabriel Jesus to Arsenal, how close are you seeing to get this done?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much done. City have accepted an offer of about £45 million from Arsenal. Personal terms won't be a problem. I think it's probably already done anyway. It's something that will probably be announced very early next week. It's a good signing, in my opinion. Arsenal are desperate for a striker. He scored goals at City. He's not been the main man ever at City since he joined. He's had to compete with Sergio Aguero and a lot of other forward players. You know, you would assume that Arsenal spending that money that he would go there and be the main man, and it's a real test whether he can do it consistently in the Premier League and be that 20-plus goal a season striker that Arsenal are desperate for.
Can he be that, Don?
Yeah, he can. I like him, Dan. I think he's a terrific player with a brilliant attitude and can play anywhere asked. We've seen that when he's been at Man City under Guardiola. I think what he wants now is he wants game time. I think he wants to be the main man. I think he wants to put an Arsenal shirt on every single week, knowing that he's going to lead the line, get him in the 18-yard box. I thought last season he looked incredibly sharp. I thought one of his best seasons last season, even though he didn't get the game time when I seen him, I thought he looked really sharp. He looked at it. He was playing through the middle. His attitude was good. He's quite sharp as well. He can take players on. And as I said, sometimes when you make a move, Dan, and you go to a new club and you think you're the man, like Jesus is going to think, with all that talent playing in behind him and all the chances you'd like to think those young guys are going to create for him, if he can stick you know, to the width of the 18-yard box and get himself central, I can imagine he'll get 20 goals next season.
But what's striking there, and Don kind of said that he didn't play maybe as much as he liked, he still played almost 50% of the available minutes for Manchester City. He was still a key part of that jigsaw that saw them get all that success last season.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there who say, oh, you know, he couldn't get a game at City regularly. And you know, it's not easy to get a game at City at the moment. It's not easy. I mean, I know they didn't win the Champions League, but once again, they've won the Premier League. They are effectively, when you watch them and you look at the squad and the manager, they are effectively, and people will argue with it, the best team in Europe, right? And there'll be people who have a different opinion to that, but that's what I think. So if you can't get in regular in that team, it doesn't mean you're a bad player. It just means it's Guardiola has decided to go a different way or use different players. But you're right, he did play. When he played, he scored goals. He played in the wider positions at times, did a great job. I think what Arsenal are getting is somebody who might, you wouldn't call a prolific goal scorer, but will lead the line, will run the channels, will hold the ball up. And as Don mentioned, his attitude is first class. You're not, whenever you watch Jesus play, he never leaves the field having given less than his all.
Yeah.
Never. Now, you might watch him sometimes and get frustrated because sometimes he tries to overdo things and overcomplicate it. But he never leaves the field with having fought and wrestled and given 100%. So Arsenal are getting somebody that, you know, when they puts that red shirt on, is committed. And if he can find his goal-scoring touch again and get back into that mindset of being the main guy and through the middle and that centre-forward again, I don't really see a downside to it. I don't. I mean, you're signing a player from arguably the best team in Europe.
Yeah.
Right? That's where you're signing the player. It's not a bad place to go fishing.
Meanwhile, could another Manchester City player be heading to London as well? Reports Chelsea very much interested in Raheem Sterling, Rob. What's the latest here?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very similar situation to the one we just had with Gabriel, in that he's got a year left on his contract, the same as Gabriel. Gabriel made it very clear to City that he wanted to move and wanted to play more regularly. And Raheem wants to play more regularly as well. He's not been that happy with the role he's had over the last 18 months. Gabriel went to City and said that he wanted to go. Sterling hasn't done that yet, but if he does that, Guardiola isn't in the business of keeping players who are unhappy. And if Sterling was to go to him and say that he wanted to move, and a club, whether it's Chelsea or Bayern Munich or Real Madrid, came up with an acceptable offer, probably something similar to what we've seen with Gabriel, around sort of £50 million, then Sterling will go.
It's crazy. Only 27 as well. For some reason, you think Sterling's a lot older than that. Don, you hear reports that it's not only Sterling, but Dembele that Chelsea are interested in as well. Do they need all these attackers?
Well, yes, because they're better than what they've got. They're better than Hakim Ziyech, who looks like he's probably going to Milan, and probably Hudson-Odoi as well. So you're bringing a better calibre of player in. And I think Guardiola, he's the type of manager that if he wants to move a player on, like we saw with Leroy Sané and probably Raheem Sterling, he'll move them on because he thinks he's got enough. From Chelsea's point of view, I mean, they've got so many forwards, as you can see. Defenders are key for me. I mean, there's so many defenders going out the door. Kante, in the middle of the park, only played 50% of the games last season because of his fitness. You know, Azpilicueta might be on the move. Alonso might be on the move. Rudiger's gone. Christensen looks like he's going. So the standard of player for Chelsea is certainly improved if you get Raheem Sterling in, because he's another one like Jesus where it doesn't cause you a problem. He's a very good player. He can play in multiple positions. He's quick. He's 1v1s. He'll work for the team defensively. You get him at the top end of the pitch. There's not many players in European football now that can actually take players on with speed and trickery. And Raheem Sterling's got that. He's got an eye for a goal. His numbers over the years have been very, very good. So I think from both parts, it makes sense to probably make that move for Raheem Sterling. He goes back to London. That might make him a little bit more comfortable at a brilliant club like Chelsea, who, in all honesty, Dan, are a little bit in turmoil, if I'm honest. I'm not sure where they're going to finish next season. But for Raheem Sterling, I think it's an excellent move.
One thing that you know what you're going to get from Sterling. I think Dembele's a different kettle of fish.
Yep.
I mean, he's a talent, but I think there's a trust issue there, certainly from Tuchel's point of view. I know he knows him from Germany. But, you know, wherever he's travelled, he's had the same sort of issues, hasn't he? He had disciplinary issues at Dortmund. He's had them again at Barcelona. He's had injury problems at Barcelona. Yeah, when he's played and when he got some game time this year, he was good. But can Chelsea afford somebody who, yeah, you know, maybe they can rely on? You know, they need people that they can rely on 100%. And as Don said, the other side of the coin, it's, and we talked about it with Man City, it's a simple mathematics. You just can't keep bringing these wide attacking players in and not offload anybody.
Sure.
You just can't do it. And one of the things we talk about defence, I've mentioned Jules Koundé from Sevilla, but I don't hear any talk about defenders at Chelsea at the moment. And maybe they're just doing their business quietly, I'm sure they are. But that's a more worrying position for me.
Yes.
Then, although they need a goal scorer, although they have issues up front, if you think about when they started the season brilliantly, and at one point everybody thought they're the team to beat up until, I think, November time, maybe early December, it was all based on what the back line was doing.
Yep.
It was all based on Mendy, Thiago Silva, the wing-backs, who then got injured. Whenever that happened, it was a big problem. So I think Tuchel knows he's got to solve that problem, so we can talk about all these attacking players all we want, but until they fix the issues with the departing players and the problematic positions, they can bring anybody they want in up front. They're not going to challenge at the top.
You think it's going to be a busy summer, isn't it, Chelsea? We'll say goodbye to Rob. Thank you very much for joining us, Rob. Just a reminder, if you ever miss a show, you can download our daily podcast. Plenty of bonus material on there as well. You can do that over on the website. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Neymar isn't happy at PSG after what El Khelaifi had to say about his future and not committing to the Brazilian staying at PSG. So inevitably, he's going to be linked to big clubs, including Juventus. So we have mocked up what it would look like with Neymar there. Don, do you like this side?
I love the side. I love the side. I'm not sure Juve will get their signing over the line. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but hasn't Neymar got 5 years left on his contract? And the thing is with Neymar, Dan, I mean, look at that side. I mean, look at the midfield with Paul Pogba, Arthur, Locatelli. I mean, it's an amazing side, and it would probably make them favourites to try and win the Scudetto next season. But the thing is with Neymar, it's the same old conversation. I've been saying it for years. When you look at talent and talk talent-wise, he probably 6, 7, 8 years ago was probably only just behind Messi. It was Messi and Neymar. Neymar, talent-wise, was better than everyone in the world apart from Messi. But when you look at people like Harry Kane and Son and Foden and the players that work defensively, De Bruyne, for example, you know, these guys work when they haven't got the ball. They don't weaken your side. The thing is, well, Neymar, when he's in your side, Dan, he can win you a game. When he doesn't fancy it or he's off it and he's not going to work, he can lose you a game. So at the same time, he's a liability. So are you going to outlay all that money that it's going to cost and potentially upset your dressing room, which Juve's always been built on a strong dressing room, of bringing someone in who you're not quite sure is going to hit it off with everyone and going to be quite selfish? Because that's what he is. He's an amazing talent, amazing player, great skills, but he's an individual. And I don't think individuals in the game last anymore, I'm afraid.
Cristiano Ronaldo fans are going to be all over your DMs, Don, after that comment regarding Messi and Neymar.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought Cristiano Ronaldo left Juventus because his wages were a burden on their finances, and their ownership flaunted themselves regularly and still to this day regarding a Super League because of the finances. They can't compete. Oh, we need a Super League because we can't generate the money to compete. So how is this going to work?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, if we can make this work, you can stick the Super League, because it's all one big lie. You know what I mean? So I
do you want to get Gab on?
No.
PSG, of course, are looking to turn a corner, moving away from bling bling. This is what Al Khelaifi, of course, had to say about the future of the club and the direction that he wants to take it in going forward. And this is what he said about Neymar. A possible departure of Neymar this summer. What can I tell you is that we expect all players to do a lot more than last season. A lot more. We also heard as well, didn't we, from Kylian Mbappe as well, talking in the same sort of sense, saying, of course, the Champions League is the goal. This is the clear and announced objective, getting back to the basics and then trying to conquer Europe. This past season, we weren't as fearsome. We are far less untouchable. We want to go back to being intimidating in France, something we have not done these past 2 years.
Oh, they won the league at Alcantara last year.
Yes, but they struggled in their away from home against some of the big sides. I don't think they dominated them as much as they wanted to. All right.
Well, he's only been in charge for 10 years or so, this guy and his people. So, I mean, it's taken them 10 years to figure out the sort of bling bling.
Yeah, but it's all noise, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, what's going to change?
Not a lot. Well, they have the new coach in golf here who, according to Jules, is a very hard-nosed taskmaster. But I think some of the other coaches before have tried. So we'll see. But it is all noise. It's all noise. And Mbappe's part of that noise anymore. He's been bought, it seems. He's been bought to sing from the same hymn sheet. I wonder why.
Don, this is it. If you've got the same personnel, the same players, the same squad with the likes of Neymar in, as much as you come out with all this rhetoric, I just don't understand why saying all this is suddenly going to make people go, oh, yeah, you're right, we need to be more fearsome now.
Yeah, I don't know where they go down, in all honesty, because you sell Neymar, you're selling a brilliant player. So I understand when we watch PSG over the years, we've all watched PSG when they get deep into a Champions League and you think of, you know, Mbappe and people like Di Maria who are brilliant players and Neymar, et cetera, et cetera. And you go, they can't win the top competitions because some of the players, they don't work defensively. Di Maria for Juve, by the way, he would be an amazing signing. But going back to Neymar, I don't know what you do. Do you ship him on because your dressing room will be a little bit healthier? Maybe. But if you're going to take some superstar players and lose superstar players, it's going to take an awful long time to try and get closer to a Champions League final. So it feels like to me that just the wheels just keep turning and they never, ever get closer to where they want to be. As the owner said, they want to dominate the Champions League. And Mbappe said they want to dominate the Champions League. That ain't going to happen.
I just got a vision of Mbappe shaking Messi in the dressing room, telling him he needs to dominate.
You think so?
And be fearsome. And more fearsome in the league, and he's lying there with his flip-flops on, putting the sun cream on, saying, I'm getting 50 million a year, or whatever it is.
Yep.
So, you know, it is what it is. They've made their own bed with these signings, and they're going to have to lie on it. I think the one thing in their favour this year, to an extent, for the start of the season, is, and I'm not suggesting Messi wasn't trying, I didn't have the right attitude, but he certainly wasn't at his best. But he does have 3 or 4 months of a start of a season to really get himself in shape for the World Cup.
Yes.
And that might be good for PSG.
Indeed. Just a reminder, Extra Time, as always, is available over on our YouTube channel. Don and Craig staying late today to answer your questions.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Don is back. Craig, of course, here as well, as they'll be answering your questions on Extra Time, which is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Craig Burley with us here in the studio. Don is with us as well. Craig, I know you're not on Instagram, so you wouldn't have seen...
I'm not on Instagram. I'm a secret Instagram.
Oh, really?
Why would I go on Instagram?
Well, because there's lots of pictures, and you can see Don's pictures of the old days when he used to be young and partying as opposed to looking after children, which he does now. Don, you're in the middle of this. Who do we know in this picture?
You might know Stephen Fletcher on the left-hand side, who I played with at Hartlepool, played for Bournemouth. You wouldn't recognise Scott Mean, who was a brilliant player at Bournemouth, then he went to West Ham. Jamie Redknapp's in there. Frank is in there. Good squad, that was.
That's Frank Lampard, not Frank LeBeuf.
Is that Scott Mental, Don?
No, it's Scott Mean. Do you remember Scott Mean?
No.
No. He was Jamie's pal from Bournemouth. Good player.
I think I was... Who was the boy, Fletcher?
Stephen Fletcher.
I think I was at Lillishaw with him. I think...
Big number nine.
Did he go to Bournemouth at one point?
He did. He's still there. He's still there on the coaching staff. I was at Hartlepool. Me and him were apprentices together. Yeah, big number nine. Loved the gym session.
Yeah, but he couldn't. I tell you what, he couldn't keep up with me in the rowing machine. Beast, absolute beast on the rowing.
Where is that picked on?
That is Ian Appa. So that's about 92. So you two would have fitted right in.
Wow.
Well, you know, I can't condone these boozy holidays, Don, for athletes. There's just not.
Yeah. That's it.
If I had to do it all again.
Yes.
Right. Professional. Don't laugh. I would not drink.
You said this before. Yeah. That it was the culture. Because you retired at what, 31?
Yeah.
33. Maybe just a teeny bit.
Yeah. But the good thing is you've got good control.
Teeny bit. But the culture in the 90s, and he's up there, Don, was enjoy yourself.
Right.
But what we know now, and we have known for years, is that for recovery, and that's what they all talk about now.
Yes.
Sports scientists, recovery after games, managers talk about it, recovery from injuries. It's horrible for that. It just makes it so much longer to get the muscles right. Nowadays, who cares? I mean, I'm a fine athlete now.
What, exactly?
Apart from that, trapped nerve.
Given we're in the summer, it's the time of year that footballers go out, what's the most you've spent on a night out with your mates? Wow.
I wasn't into like the mad thousands and thousands. I think I've done a grand or something in London, because London's London.
Oh, okay.
I remember going into like a trendy wine bar, hotel wine bar in London, and I asked for 3 gin and tonics, and I've gone like that with 20 quid, and the guy's gone behind the bar, he's went, I've gone, dear me. So I've got another 20 quid, 40, and he's gone. And I've gone, I'm giving him a tenner more. If it's more than 50 quid, I'm not having it. And I gave him another tenner, and it was just shy of 50 quid. And I was like, what? 3 gin and tonics?
Yeah. But I must admit, no, we had multiple nights out, but I won't go into the details. But a couple of hundred quid.
Nothing silly.
However, on one trip to Dublin, with me and a couple of our teammates, Matt Reaper, our Danish centre-half, about 12 of us, as you know, I told you this, we used to go to Dublin a couple of times a year for a long weekend.
Yep.
12 of the boys from Celtic. And one of the lads, David Hanna, Scottish guy, on the Sunday afternoon, it had been a long Saturday night and it kind of rolled into the Sunday. And Sunday afternoon in Temple Bar in Dublin, for anybody who's been there will know, David was a little worse for wear. I'm talking about expensive nights out or days out. He wanted to go back to the hotel because he wasn't feeling great.
Okay.
And he got in a taxi in Dublin Island and asked to go to Glasgow.
Oof.
Scotland.
What happened?
Matt Reaper overheard them, jumped in the taxi. No! Well, he actually said East Kilbride, wow, which is where he lived, just outside Glasgow. He got in the taxi, he went, East Kilbride.
Oh, my goodness.
Thinking he was in Glasgow.
Yes.
And he was in Dublin.
Right.
Now, that would have been.
Yeah.
Dublin to the port.
Yeah, I think
a couple of hundred quid. Ferry over, a couple of hundred with a bit. Then they dropped a thousand.
Wow.
So we saved them. He asked to go to Glasgow Dublin.
What do you think most Stevie's paid on a night out? Tenner?
No. He was out for a steak the other night. That doesn't count.
Yeah, but he gets a voucher from Michael, doesn't he?
Of course he does. Do you mean if he's out with the lads?
Yeah.
Well, everybody else is buying the drinks.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he does buy it. I have to say, he does buy when he's out.
Right.
But no?
No, he does. I'm thinking, yeah,
He does. He will go to the bar.
Yeah.
Because he'll
fall out with people, though, because he just wants everything.
Well,
he
always says, and we haven't been out for a while, as you know, properly, but he'll always say, me and you, right, together.
Yeah.
Otherwise, so him and I stick together on that basis, and he does buy his drinks. Now, getting them there and getting them to spit is difficult.
Craig, what's your favourite Don moment? Goodness me, this person follows the show closely. Money for the ferry.
Oh, no, I'm going to tell you now. Wembley, 1999, Bosch.
Oh, no. Yes, that Doosh. Lucky goal. Money for the ferry, falling off his bike. Kane to City, done deal. United have Galacticos. Just a few of my favourites.
No, my favourite is so far. Right, see if you can guess what my favourite is, which is not a word, but I'm using it. You guess what my favourite is and I'll tell you if you're correct.
I don't know, the latest one was good.
No, what's the latest one?
Where he blacked out his house on the map.
Yeah. That was when he called us Statler and Waldo.
Do you know why I done that, Dan? Because my boy who's 21 goes, whenever you're putting your sort of map up, like your bike ride, you keep putting like your house on, so you're telling the whole world
right
where you're living.
Yep.
I was like, Dad didn't realise I was doing that. So I had this sort of bright idea of sort of blacking it out a little bit, like no one would know.
No, but that was the point. There is still a trail back to where you live. My favourite is Dawn Moment, guess. See if you get it right.
I don't know.
My favourite is by a long way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's
got to be the ferry.
It's Don getting suckered in to filling the guy's gas car up. There's gas up in his car, giving him money,
yes,
and then the ferry.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, this story, obviously, when he was at a service station in England, someone said they needed money to take their family back to Ireland, and Don gave them $250.
It wasn't even that, though. He got his little girls out of the car and everything, and the little girls were all dishevelled. Like, he's got his family involved. Look, my little girls, we haven't got any money, we need some petrol, I need to get to Ireland. Played the family card and everything, he sucked me right in.
Oh, big heart, Don. Big heart, isn't it?
Exactly.
There you go. Is there any possibility of Trent... Oh, football question. Is there any possibility of Trent Alexander-Arnold shifting into midfield role in the coming years, Don? It seems a natural progression given his now proven strengths and weaknesses.
Nah, I don't see it. I think why would you shift one of the best right backs in world football into a different position? I get it because he's got the quality. I can defend. I think it's a little bit of a myth. I think everyone just chucks, oh, he can't defend, he can't defend, he can't defend. It's because he's so good at going forward and he almost plays like a winger and he's so high up the pitch. I think why would you try and shift him from there into midfield? Liverpool's priority, I'm hearing, might be Bellingham next season. So why would you shift Trent out of there when he gets the numbers he gets?
Don's hearing. I like it when Don hears things.
What's that?
He's hearing Bellingham to Liverpool.
He's hearing us at the moment, which is a bit of a concern. But, you know, when you move into middle of the park, particularly, say, like a Fabinho position, people think, you can go in there. The difficulty is for a player who has predominantly played as a fullback, you're getting the ball kind of from... This might sound strange, but I'll try and simplify it in layman terms. You're getting the ball sort of generally from one side and opening your body out. Playing at fullback is relatively simplistic at times. Making it sound easy.
No, it is.
Not.
Right.
As you're getting the ball out and then you can pick a pass or you get forward. I mean, it's a specialised position. But you're kind of used to doing balls coming across from wherever, the centre-half or the midfield on your right foot. You go in the middle of the park...
But he's not going into the middle of the park.
No, but I'm just saying, well, if you go into midfield, right, the middle of the park, whatever it is, you're now taking the ball from every angle with your back to goal or side on. It's a thing you learn when you're a kid about body positions.
Right.
Letting the ball run across you, one side, don't close your... It's completely different. It is completely different going in there. It's an eye-opener for a lot of people because you really got to be thinking about your your body position and where you're receiving the ball, where when you're playing fullback, you kind of don't have to do that as much, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, Craig.
It seems to me what I'm saying there to you is going in one ear and out the other.
Hmm?
Correct.
Craig, would you rather...
It's like me playing centre-half once for Scotland in a World Cup qualifier.
Yep.
I went back and I did the job, but I had to be seriously thinking about the offsides and that all the time because the defenders were squeezing up and dropping off. And
did you do a good job?
I did all right, yeah. We kept a clean sheet.
Oh, well done.
Not,
who were you playing? San Marino?
No, I was playing Gibraltar. it was Belarus away in Minsk.
Oh, no.
And I do believe we kept a clean sheet. I'm not sure.
Oh,
I can't remember.
That's all right. Craig, would you rather watch the Pogmentary?
No.
You see Pogmentary's, like, been slated. Somebody's the worst TV show ever.
Was it you that sent me a screenshot?
No, I didn't send you.
Somebody sent me a screenshot. Right.
Someone tweeted me, it's like 1 out of 10 on IMDb.
Yeah, how did it get 1?
I don't think 0 is an option. Would you prefer to watch that or listen to an equivalent time of the Gab and Jules podcast?
Do I have to do either?
Yes, apparently.
It's got to be the podcast, surely.
Yeah.
Don's sometimes on the podcast, remember?
Yeah. Exactly. Robbo, Nedham.
Yeah.
Augie.
Yeah.
Everybody. Not you.
No.
Not me.
No.
No. I podcast.
Wow, there you go.
I have to play the corporate.
What an endorsement for them.
I'm sure they're worried.
What's more likely to happen, Don? Haaland scoring 30-plus goals, Everton being relegated, Spurs finishing fourth again, or Notts Forest staying.
All right, that's been done. That's been done on purpose.
What's more likely to happen? Spurs finishing fourth.
Yes.
I don't think Haaland gets 30-plus next season.
Keep going on the list. How would you rank this in your power rankings, Don?
What, in terms of an order?
Yes, that's... Yes.
Do you think Everton will even be close next year, Dan?
No, I don't think so, Craig. I don't think they'll be anywhere near top half. I don't think they'll flirt with bottom three.
So what's more likely? We've got Spurs finishing fourth.
Yes, definitely.
Notts Forest staying up.
They're going to stay up, so that's second on the list.
Okay.
Nottingham Forest.
Everton being relegated.
Well, that's not going to happen, and Haaland's not going to happen, so...
Okay.
Everton third, Haaland last.
Haaland 30 plus. I don't think it's...
No.
Why?
He ain't getting 30 plus.
30 plus in all comps? Not...
Oh, all comps? No, he won't. Just shy. I tell you what, I had a bet at work on the last round of the Premier League games. You can jump on it if you like.
Where are you working, Don? Charity. At the factory. Where are you?
This is not a hobby.
No, I meant Premier League. Sorry, I meant Premier League. But you can jump on it. And I had a bet with the lads at work. And Tudders, who you know, Craig, took me up on it. And Owen Hargreaves took me up on it. And I said Harry Kane would score more Premier League goals next season than Haaland.
That's close. Because you know he's going to play every game. Haaland
has to be pro rata for the games they played.
Yeah, yeah. What was the bet? Trip to Ireland?
Something daft. 20 quid, something daft.
Oh, there you are. Daft. That's a lot of money. Craig, how much golf do you think that Bale can manage while in LA while waiting for the World Cup?
Well, I'd like to think he can manage as much as me.
Yeah.
Not as lot as much this year as previous years, I have to say. I guess my boss is watching.
Right.
Not that he'd be surprised.
No.
I think he'll get, at least a good game and after training every day.
Yeah.
If he's got any sense, and he has, clearly, sort of a very articulate individual, he's going to be staying renting whatever somewhere in Los Angeles. It's probably going to be near a nice one of those lovely golf courses.
Mm-hmm.
The chances of it raining are slim.
Yep. Good for him.
So, train, dolly around, bosh. Golf course, I would imagine he's going to be 5 times a week.
Right.
And he might even get a game in the morning of the games.
There you are.
There you go. It's quick 18 in before the kickoffs. On the slide. on the fly. And the boss says to you, what are you doing? I was on a cart.
Yep.
I was on a cart. I wasn't walking.
For Don, what's the percentage chance of Pep Guardiola not winning the Champions League before his time at City is up?
Oh, mate, I mean, zero, innit?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, he hasn't done it so far. Well,
50-50.
No, I think he'll win it a few more times.
100% he's going to win it with Manchester City.
I think he will. I think he's got a couple of more titles left in him.
I'd like to think so.
For Craig.
They blew it last year, didn't they?
Yes.
Oh, they blew the semi.
Yes, they did. For Craig, if Arsenal sign Rafinha and Gabriel Jesus, where do you see them finishing next season?
At best, fourth.
Right.
At best. Depends what Man United do, really, in the transfer window.
Do you think Chelsea is still going to be OK?
Again, depends what they do. I'm going to say fourth.
Fourth? Don?
I'd go one higher. I'd go, at best, I think third.
Oh.
I just don't know where Chelsea are going to be. There's too many defenders going out the door. There's too many players that you just think they need to move on. What's the state of the club? Is Thomas Tuchel bringing players in? I'm not sure where they're going to be at. I haven't got United finishing top four. Could be a scenario where Arsenal and Spurs get top four. Could be.
That is it. We are done. I'm off on holiday. Goodbye.
Are you?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
England.
It's not a holiday.
It looks horrible.
It's going to get rained on.
Yeah, exactly. Seb, Kay and Chris will be looking after the hot seat when I'm away. I'm sure everyone cares about that. They'll be back here tomorrow. Goodbye.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.